Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So, just a little update on my calorie deficit so far. So, I'm into week 11. So, today is the 16th of March, and actually, this day next month, I will have, well, it was the 15th actually. The 15th next month, I will have landed in Melbourne, and then I'll be away for 3 weeks. I'll be going to Melbourne, then the Philippines, then to Sydney, then to Perth, and then home. So that'll be about 3 weeks. So that's mainly why I've been in a calorie deficit, as well as just recomping as well, because I maintained my weight for most of last year. Well, half of last year, I got down to 60 kg because my weight went up by 6 kg when I came back from Australia last year in May. So I went into a calorie deficit until the end of August, got back down to 60 kg, maintained that then up until the start of January. I was pushing hard in the gym, building more muscle tissue. So yeah, it's just a little recomp, getting to look more toned and stuff like that for going abroad. I'll be going on a few holidays this coming year. So I mentioned that in my previous podcast episode. But I am at 57.1 currently, and I started at 61 kg. But if you have been tracking my daily weigh-ins on my Instagram page, on my stories, I update my weigh-ins every day. Some days I do forget to post it, not very often, but yeah, it's at 57.1 now. But again, things didn't start moving till around week 4. If I was looking back on my daily weigh-ins, it was around week 4, the start of week 4, that the scale actually started to drop, because sometimes it can take a lot of trial and error. The calories that you're on and the cardio you're doing sometimes kind of aren't helping things budge that bit more. So sometimes it can be a matter of dropping calories again or increasing cardio. But even with my own clients, I like to kind of keep food as a last resort if they do have the option to do more cardio, because I'd rather my clients diet on as much food as possible while still being in a calorie deficit, instead of making them eat less when they don't need to be eating less. They can just burn the extra calories through cardio or steps. But some people aren't in a gym, and some people don't have the luxury of more time. Now, there's a difference between I'm not arsed going to the gym and putting in more time, and then there's a difference which and then there's also people who genuinely do not have enough time in the day to add on more cardio. They're probably already doing a half an hour, and they're like, Enya, all I can do is 3 half hours, each week. That's all I can manage with my schedule. They could have, multiple kids. They could have a really, really busy job, and then everything else outside work. Like, that's fair enough, But that's where I'm at anyway. And I finish up the deficit on the 14th of April, which is when I leave. It's mad because it takes so long to get to the other side of the world. I leave at 8 in the morning on the 14th of April, and I arrive the evening of the 15th, so 10:15 in Melbourne. But don't forget, Australia are 11 to 12 hours ahead of us. So yeah, that's it's weird. Me body is going to be effect. I actually had to change my flights as well. I was stopping over in Doha and then going on to Melbourne, but obviously with all the stuff that's been going on in the Middle East, I was flying with Qatar Airways. I didn't get an email or anything to say that the flight was, kind of up in the air, excuse the pun, or that it's cancelled, or whatever else. I just changed it. I had actually insured my flight, just because when it's so expensive and you're going that far across, over to the other side of the world, and plus I would be doing shows in Melbourne, so in case anything happened and I've spent that much money on a flight, I did want to insure it, so I was entitled to a full refund, well, 90% of the flight money. So I got that back within a week, which was handy. And then I have booked an alternative flight, which is two stopovers. I fly through Germany, then I fly to Hong Kong, and then I fly to Melbourne. So yeah, it'd be a bit of a longer journey, but I don't want to take the gamble just in case the war in the Middle East is still going on and my flight is cancelled at the last minute. And then I go and look to book another flight, and there's none, or else the prices are through the roof. I don't want to create that stress. So coming home, I'll fly through an alternative stopover as well. Obviously, Dubai and Doha, and Abu Dhabi and stuff, like they are like the busiest airports in the world. It's nearly like the center of the world, you know, kind of like the middleman between continents, nearly, just for like refueling and stuff. So it is hard to kind of find times and dates and stuff like that that suit you and that don't fly through the Middle East. But I think I have one for going home. I'll be leaving through Perth anyway. But enough about that. That's totally irrelevant to the podcast episode today. What I wanted to talk about was weight loss groups. So I still come across people who are in Slimming World, who are in Weight Watchers. Maybe there's other ones, kind of niche ones that might only be relevant to the area that someone lives in. It wouldn't be kind of like globally or nationally known. So I'm just going to focus on the likes of Slimming World and Weight Watchers. I'm not going to sit here and say they're appalling, they're disgraceful, they're this or that. Like, I don't think they are. Like, I think, you know, they do work for some people. I want to kind of get into the fundamentals of them and why I think it's probably better to educate yourself around food so you don't have to rely on a points system or a SIN system per se. Because once you are educated when it comes to calories and macros, honest to God, you'll never have to rely on those type of systems again, because I'll go into it in more detail and stuff, but like you only know how to basically diet that way by counting points and SINs and stuff. And when you leave those groups, or you know, you go on holiday or you go to restaurants, you're not gonna know how many SINs or points are in things, and you're not gonna know how many calories are in foods or takeaways that you have outside the home as well, you know, that someone else cooks for you. That's fine, but to educate yourself around macros and understanding balance and flexibility around nutrition, I think it's just far more valuable than like points and SINs. So I'm going to get into that now. I have my little list out here. So point one, you may not learn the underlying nutrition basics, which is just kind of what I touched on. So programs like Weight Watchers and Slimming World and stuff, they use a point system. Slimming World uses SINs and free foods, which means you follow rules about points or food categories, but you don't necessarily learn how calories, protein, carbs, and fat actually work. And if you do know how they work, you're not going to become trapped within this kind of points and SIN system, you know? So if someone leaves the program, they might struggle to maintain their weight because they never learned the mechanics behind fat loss. They just learned a SINs and points system, okay? They don't know how to think by themselves, okay? Because they rely on this system so much. But with calorie and macronutrient education, you actually understand calorie deficit, your protein needs, energy balance, portion awareness, etc. And that knowledge sticks with you long term, and you can carry it with you for the rest of your life, and you can, you know, teach it to other people around you as well. And then number two, some foods get good or bad labels, right? I hate when people say, "Oh, I'm not eating that, that's too bad," or "Yeah, no, I should eat that because that's meant to be good for me." Yeah, we can use the term good if it's like really, really nutritious and it's fruit or veg or something like that. Yeah, of course that's going to be good for you. But I don't think there's any food that's bad for you. I think eating copious amounts of a certain food can be bad for you, and that's any food, okay? Because eat enough of any food and it's going to carry a lot of calories, all right? Like these programs like Slimming World and Weight Watchers, they often categorize foods like into free foods or SINs or high point foods, okay? So this can unintentionally create a moral mindset around food, e.g. good versus bad, right? So see these high point foods. So this is actually very common with people who are in Slimming World and Weight Watchers. So particularly in Slimming World, they SIN a lot of foods that are high in fat, okay? So realistically, a lot of the foods that you eat when you're in Slimming World, they lack fat content, okay? And there is bad fat. Now, I know I said I don't like using the word good or bad, but just in layman's terms, saturated fats are stuff like, you know, grease and stuff that are like in cakes and jellies and, you know, just a lot of those like kind of like highly palatable foods, all right? So if there's 4 calories in 1 gram of carbs, there's 4 calories in 1 gram of carbs, and there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So if you look on the back of a food packet, let's just say a pack of blueberry muffins, all right, and they're like 400 calories. Like a blueberry muffin would be really, really high in fat, okay, saturated fat. So a lot of the calories that's within that muffin is due to the fat content, all right? So if something's really high in fat, you know it's going to be high in calories because there's 9 calories, 1 gram of fat. So if you look on the back of a food packet and you see a blueberry muffin has, you know, this is just me guessing off the top of my head. I haven't looked at the back of a blueberry muffin packet in God knows. I don't think I ever have. Let's just say it carries 20 grams of fat, right? That's going to be a lot of calories, all right? So what Slimming World and Weight Watchers does is it kind of like eliminates high fat foods, which are high point foods. So what happens as a result of, and let's just a disclaimer here as well, just because something is high in fat doesn't mean that it's bad for you, okay? So obviously if you have a lot of like highly saturated fat foods, like the cakes and, you know, jellies and whatever else, you know, savory foods as well, like meals and stuff like that, like fast food, that could be really high in fat because it's laddered in grease. But there's also the good fats, okay? So olive oil, peanut butter, nuts, salmon, egg yolks and stuff like that, avocado, they're really good fats, and we need those fats in our diet, okay? We need those. But Slimming World and Weight Watchers don't give a shit about what type of fat it is. They just sin it, okay? Or they class it as a high point food, whether it's a healthy fat or a not so healthy fat, okay? So one of the side effects of lack of dietary fat in your diet, if you are in Slimming World and Weight Watchers, is constipation, okay? Because fat, actually, the good type of fats, okay, your avocados, your nuts, your olive oils, that actually aids with digestion. All right. It also helps with hormone production and stuff like that. And if it's aiding digestion and it's lacking in your system, okay, it's going to cause constipation. So I used to get a lot of feedback from clients who wouldn't be having enough fat in their diet and they'd be suffering from constipation, or they'd be like, oh, there's like a lot of foods that I'm avoiding, and it's just the Slimming World habits are still within me, so I'm avoiding certain foods. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're avoiding foods that are actually high in fat, good fats, like your nuts and your olive oils and you know, your avocados and stuff like that, and your fish, like your salmon and all that. I was like, because you're avoiding that, that's what's causing the constipation, okay? So, you know, you haven't gone to the toilet a few days, like that's a common symptom of lack of dietary fat in the diet. That's what it is. Dietary fat is your avocados, your olive oils, your peanuts, etc. and all that. So this can unintentionally create a moral mindset around food. So a low point processed snack might seem better than a higher calorie whole food like nuts or olive oil. So you're going for a lower calorie snack, like let's just say a Kit Kat, like, you know, 100 calorie Kit Kat bar, because it's low in fat. Right, I don't know whether it's actually low in fat, but I'm just using that because it's a low calorie snack, versus actually getting, like, you know, nuts, peanut butter, olive oil, avocado into your diet, because it's classed as a high point food, you know. So you're neglecting your fat intake, your dietary fat intake, because it's high point foods. Number three, they can hide, these groups can hide calorie reality, right? So you can technically eat very calorie dense meals while staying within the rules, but it comes across like you haven't actually eaten a lot that day, or vice versa. So example issues people run into: free foods eaten in huge quantities. So free foods, I can't really remember, to be honest. I don't think I've ever been part of any of these groups, so I don't really know what free foods are classed, like what would be a free food. But like I said earlier, if you eat enough of anything, it's going to carry a lot of calories eventually, you know. And then low point ultra processed foods replacing normal meals. So, you know, Squares bars and the Kit Kats and whatever else, like just because they're low calorie, they're replacing actual meals. Okay, so, and they're low point ultra processed foods as well, so because they're low calorie and but they're still processed foods, do you know what I mean? And it's actually taken away from the good stuff that you should be having, so the nutritious stuff. I know I'm in a habit of using good and bad myself, but you know what I mean, the nutritious stuff, just because it's probably higher in calorie than a low point food, you know, like your fats, your good fats, etc. So when counting calories, energy intake is transparent. All right, so if you actually learn to count your own calories, you can actually see what type of food you're intaking, and you understand carbs, you understand protein, you understand you should be fueling before workouts and not just sticking to this point system for the sake of eating food, okay? So it's harder to accidentally overeat, because when you're counting calories and you're weighing out your food at meal times, you can actually see what you're eating as opposed to point systems, all right? Number four, cost and dependency. Right, programs like Weight Watchers and Slimming World, they often involve like weekly fees, subscriptions, branded foods, you know, like there is Slimming World meals out there and Weight Watcher meals, etc. And they try to get you to buy these meals just because they know what's in them, they know the points, etc. And then obviously, going to the meetings and stuff. Some critics actually argue that the systems are designed to keep people coming back repeatedly rather than empower them to manage their weight independently, which is something that they don't do. And that's why I don't kind of agree with these groups. They don't teach you how to stand on your two feet afterwards. Like, learning nutrition basics is essentially free once you understand it. And, I'm probably shooting myself in the foot here, but you can go onto YouTube and literally learn the basics of nutrition. You can listen to these podcasts and listen to the basics of nutrition. There's people on social media who do it as well, like myself, okay? But I think some people, I find as well, it's very popular with older women, right? Because they may not know that they have access to this information online, or they have a friend, like a sister or a work colleague or a neighbour who's gone to these Weight Watcher groups, Slim and More groups, and they're like, oh, it's brilliant, I lost this amount of weight, right? Well, if Mary and Betty are going to Slim and World and Betty's like, go to Slim and World, I'm telling you, you'll drop loads of weight, it's unreal. Right, well, come back to them in 6 months' time after they've left the group and see that they gained the weight back, because the likelihood is very high, because they didn't learn how to keep it off. They just learned how to lose it. Okay, but when you learn the nutrition basics, you know how to keep it off you then, and you don't have to keep yo-yo dieting, Number five, protein and muscle retention sometimes gets overlooked, all right? They don't talk about the importance of protein, about keeping you full. It's all about just point systems, etc. So modern weight loss advice emphasizes high protein, resistance training, maintaining muscle. This really is discussed in these groups, okay? Having more muscle tissue on your frame heightens your metabolic resting rate. It increases it, especially when you're a middle-aged woman going through menopause, perimenopause. It's going to help you so much, okay? And then, it's going to give you more productivity, it's going to give you more energy, it's going to improve your sleep, it's going to improve your mood, as opposed to just sticking to the food, the point system, the SIN system, okay? The likes of these weight loss groups don't emphasize the importance of training, like training alongside this. Maybe they might be like, oh, go on your walks, but they don't talk about going into the gym with a training program and pushing till failure, progressive overload, building your hamstrings, building your glutes, building a back, building abs, building a chest, building shoulders, building arms, okay? They don't talk about that, or the importance of having muscle on your frame, okay? And, because they don't emphasize the importance of protein, what's going to happen is you're eating all these like low point foods or sin free foods that don't carry any protein. All right. They're just fruit and veg, and fruit and veg is important, but there's feck all protein in that. And what happens is you can get very hungry in the evenings then, because you've no protein intake in your diet. And what happens then, you're going to be really hungry. You're probably going to end up overeating. It's actually not very, it's not sustainable long term, okay? But when you're aware of traditional diet groups approaches sometimes focus mainly on weight on the scale, not body composition, right? They just focus on, oh, the number's gone down, but they're not looking at your body composition, thinking your arms are coming on now, Tina. You can see the glutes starting to grow now. It's all about scale number, scale number, scale number, all right? Whereas if you are aware of calories and macronutrients, okay, so your carbs, your protein, your fats, it helps you prioritize protein intake, muscle retention, better metabolic health, especially if you're a middle-aged woman, okay? Number six, group accountability versus personal scale. So this is actually where the program does have an advantage in some way, all right? So it provides community support, right? You're surrounded by women who strive, who want to achieve the same goal that you do. And that's weight loss, that's building more confidence, that's kind of being insecure about body image, etc. They don't like what they see in the mirror, they want to do something about it. Regular check-ins helps with accountability, etc. Accountability in general, knowing that you have to show up every week and speak to someone, and it just keeps you in check. For some people, that structure is extremely helpful, okay? But learning calories and macros requires more self-discipline and self-education. So sometimes I think that's a deterrent for some people. Oh, no, wouldn't have a clue about any of that calorie macro bollocks. Now, don't even get me started. I have to educate myself. Sorry, where do I start? What's a macro? What's a calorie? Nah, I'll just stick to Slim and World and Weight Watchers. It seems far more simple. I understand that, okay? I do. And people probably think that they have to open a book that's like fucking 1,000 pages thick, and they're like, nah, no, it's too overwhelming. Honestly, there's so much free information out there. And, I get feedback myself over the podcast that it's easy to understand, or, you probably follow other people who are in the fitness industry online, and they break it down into layman's terms and you get to apply that to your own life. Like, I still get messages to this day since I've started up the page, you know, because of you, I have a better relationship with the scale. I don't take an all or nothing approach now when it comes to dieting. I still include foods that I enjoy. I go to the gym now. I've built self-confidence. I'm not shy anymore when it comes to a gym floor. I don't, you know, do endless amounts of cardio anymore. I understand energy balance. I understand as well when I go out on the weekend, it doesn't cancel out my progress and I just get back up the next day. Like, that's great. Okay. And just from, and the irony is, people who are probably in these groups probably aren't listening to this podcast. All right. But if you are currently toying with the idea, or you still are stuck in this mindset, or should I go back to the group or should I not? Or you might send this on to someone who's currently in one of these groups and I might help them, you know. But just while we're on the subject of accountability, so like these groups, they provide community support and regular check-ins. Like my 8-week challenge, it starts on the 6th of April. Now, the early bird spots open on the 27th of March, okay? And if you are on my mailing list, you can actually find that link on my Instagram page. It's underneath my profile picture on my homepage, on my Instagram page. If you sign up to my mailing list, if you're not already on it, you'll get the early bird link sent to you on March 27th, and that offer will be available for 48 hours, okay? $169.99 for 8 weeks, all right? And then after 48 hours, it goes back up in price then, okay? So, act fast, because the spaces do always sell out, all right? But again, just back to accountability. In my 8-week challenge, you'll have community support, okay? You won't have to go over to a community hall and weigh yourself in front of everyone, all right? You'll have a check-in with me for accountability every once a week, okay? Usually it's a Wednesday. It has been for the last few group challenges, but that might change. I have to obviously look at my schedule and see what day suits me most to sit down and do check-ins. But let's say it's a Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you'll fill out a little form. It's like a survey, a questionnaire, so I can see how your week went. And then I give you feedback, you know, okay, let's try this. Maybe let's do less of that. I'll educate you if you're unsure of anything. You can ask me questions. There's a private chat between me and you. When I send you your check-in, you have the opportunity to ask me anything. And also, one of the biggest things I love about this challenge is once a week I do a Zoom call, okay, and I do record it as well. So if anyone can tune in live, once a week, every week, say at 8 o'clock in the evening, I do one, and it's about 30 minutes long, but I focus on a different topic, every week, a different topic every week within the fitness and nutrition industry. Okay, so one week it could be about spot reduction when it comes to fat. Okay, can I lose fat in my arms? Can I lose fat in my arse? Sorry, no, you can't. All right, and I go into that in depth and explain why not. I discuss maybe belly fat within that call as well. Then I do another call on the menstrual cycle and how different phases of the menstrual cycle will affect you if you're in a calorie deficit. I also do a call on if you're eating out while in a calorie deficit, how to socialize while in a calorie deficit. Things that you can take with you after the challenge and apply it to yourself if you ever go into a deficit again and I'm not around. I'm educating you as well as keeping you accountable each week. You have me to answer to if you're slacking. Like, what's the point joining this challenge if you're not going to be showing up for yourself? Okay, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for support, but I'm not here to be a babysitter. Okay, you're the one that wanted to change. You're with yourself 24/7. We speak once a week. I am here to give you the map, okay? The roadmap, but you have to steer the car, all right? But yeah, so the calls are really, really helpful for people because it means that, unlike these groups, Slimmer World and Weight Watchers, when they leave underneath my wing, we'll say, they have the confidence and the education behind them now to know that they can stand on their own two feet and keep the weight off them. They're not just left in the dark then after like Weight Watchers and Slimmer World, after their subscription ends. They're like, okay, well, how do I keep the weight off me? I teach you how to do that. I show you how to do that. And that's what people need. They need the tools, the skills, the education, so that when they go out into the big bad world after they're under the guidance of a coach, or they come out of these type of groups, that they know what to do and how to keep the weight off them, and they're not just left on their own and to be like, okay, well, I learned how to lose the weight, but how do I keep it off? And that's how they end up putting the weight back on, okay? Because these groups only teach you how to keep the weight off. And just finally, the scale, okay? So a lot of these groups, you know, Slimmer World, Weight Watchers, they're heavily reliant on the scale, all right? And the thing I don't like about it is These groups are usually in the middle of the day, in the afternoon, like lunchtime, say, or in the evening, okay? And you're standing on the scale when you're fully clothed and you're after having two or three meals that day, right? And for people who don't understand the scale, I actually do a call on scale fluctuations. So you actually are educated on scale fluctuations and you understand that there's a logical reason behind why the scale spikes, goes up and down, etc. Whereas like when you're in groups like this, you stand on the scale and you're up 2 pounds and all of a sudden, oh, I failed. I did everything I was supposed to do. I avoided all the foods that I love and I stuck to this point system or this sin system because I wanted to drop a pound this week and now I'm up 2 pounds. What the hell? Yeah, because you're standing on the scale after you've had two meals and probably 2 litres of water and you're fully fucking clouded. Okay, you're not weighing yourself first thing in the morning when you're in the nip and that's when you're usually the lightest of the day, okay? Because that's when you're going to get a more accurate reading. And then when you weigh yourself, they're not really giving you much of an explanation. They're like, okay, up 2 pounds. Like, did you stick to everything? Did you do this? Did you do that? They're not turning around and saying shit. Yeah, would you still have your runners on, Mary? You still have your clothes on. You're after having two meals today, probably. That's why it's up 2 pounds, okay? When was the last time you had a shite? 3 days ago. Okay, well, that's going to be obviously sitting in your bowel, all right? That's going to weigh something too, okay? They're not educating you on the scale. They're literally just going by a number. That's it. Oh, up 2 pounds, right? Come back next week, we'll probably do better. And that's probably just water retention. And you probably did lose weight that week. But you know, there's people around you thinking, oh, up 2 pounds, did you have a takeaway or anything this week? It's if anything, I feel like it makes your relationship with the scale worse. Like I follow people who are still using these groups, you know, and look, I just stay in my own lane. I don't reach out and say, what are you doing? Like, let people live how they want to live, you know. But I've seen them say, oh, you know, bad week at Slimming World, lost 2 pounds 2 weeks ago and now I'm up 4 pounds. I feel like I can never win. And I'm like, are these consultants not explaining to them why the scale might have gone up and that it's not due to body fat, okay? Because if your scale is up 4 pounds and you think that's body fat, there's 3,500 calories in 1 pound of body fat, okay? Did you eat nearly 14,000 calories between your last check-in and Slimming World versus this week, okay? Which was probably just a week apart from each other. You ate 14,000 calories over what, you know, you're supposed to be eating. They don't teach you about how much food you as an individual need, okay? If I go onto a TDE calculator and I put my height, my weight, my age and how active I am given the exact amount of calories me, Enya, as an individual needs to lose weight, okay? But with these programs, it's kind of like a one-size-fits-all approach and it's not sustainable because number one, you're probably not eating enough food. Maybe you are someone who likes going to the gym, but you're still using these programs and you're doing a lot of cardio. You're probably not eating enough food to give you enough energy to deal with that type of activity, okay? Or that amount of activity. So what's going to happen is you're going to be hitting walls in the evening. You're going to be feeling very fatigued. You're going to be undernourished, all right? You're probably not fueling properly. You're probably getting dizzy in your gym sessions. They're just sticking to these point systems, okay? But if you actually understand food, macronutrients, nutrition, which is simple when it's explained to you in layman's terms, you'll learn what you should be eating before you go into the gym. You'll learn how much you should be eating on a day-to-day for someone of your height, weight, age, and for how active you are. So you're not hitting walls in the evening. So you're not going to bed fucking starving, okay? So that's just kind of my two cents on those groups. So on the one hand, it can be very good for accountability and a community aspect, etc. You know, people pushing each other, people striving for the same goals. It can be helpful in that sense. But, you know, joining the likes of like my 8-week challenge, we are going to walk away with it from, you know, a lifetime worth of education and tools that you can carry with you into your next deficit and you won't be yo-yo dying and you'll be able to keep the weight off you. Okay. So in short, group programs, they're easier to follow, built-in accountability, simple rules. It does cost money, less nutrition education, okay? But actually educating yourself when it comes to calories and macros, it will require you to sit down and learn, listen to podcasts like this, maybe doing a bit of reading, watching YouTube videos. You can do it independently, all right? You don't need a consultant telling you what and when to eat, etc. It gives you a deeper understanding of nutrition rather than like surface level points and sins and stuff. Once you learn it, it's free. Okay, so let's say you do my 8-week challenge. Yeah, obviously it's going to cost you money because you're going to have a coach here for accountability. But afterwards, you know, you might not need a coach until maybe another year or so. You're like, yeah, do you know what? I actually think I could stand on my own 2 feet now for the rest of the year after this challenge, which would finish up in, say, the start of June. And maybe the next time you book a holiday or you have a wedding or something, no, do you know what? I kind of need accountability for this, so I'm going to hire a coach again. I hire my own coach for accountability because I'm human too. I don't hire him to educate myself. I hire him for accountability. But once you understand the tools and the rules around nutrition, etc., it is free once you learn it, okay? It teaches you lifelong skills. All right. So I think to kind of conclude, the most effective long-term approach is usually learning about calories, protein and basic nutrition. If someone initially uses a program for structure, okay, once you understand energy balance, you're no longer dependent on any like crash diets, fad diets or diet systems or point systems or SIN systems. Okay. You actually have the freedom now to eat what you like and eat within like these calorie parameters for someone of your height, weight and age, okay? Not within a point system or a SIN system, all right? So I hope that's kind of like clear things up. Again, I'm not bashing weight loss groups. I'm actually just trying to encourage you to go and educate yourself on nutrition and macronutrients so you don't feel trapped within this point or SIN system. Trust me, once you learn the basics of nutrition and macronutrients, you just feel so much more freer when it comes to food and you don't feel restricted, okay? And when you go out to a restaurant, when you go on holiday, you're like, oh God, how many points is in this? Or is this sin-free? You actually understand that, oh, I'm going to have a chicken curry in this restaurant tonight. I don't know how many sins is in it. I don't know how many points it's worth, but I do know there's chicken in it and that's high in protein. I know my rice is my carbs to give me energy. And I also know how many calories I had today because I tracked my breakfast and my lunch. And I know I have about 800 calories left over now to enjoy this chicken curry. And that's just the thing I love about flexible dieting. Okay. If you have any questions about this, let me know. But I hope I maybe educated you or maybe someone that you know on just trying to learn the basics of nutrition and stuff. Because again, it will be with you for the rest of your life. And you won't feel trapped then or, you know, I suppose a slave to these groups and stuff. You can learn the basics. Just go off on YouTube, listen to my previous podcast, follow a few fitness people on Instagram. The information is there and it's free, okay? You don't have to be reading books that are like 1,000 pages long. There's so much free information on the internet that you don't need to think, I have to diet on points and sins for the rest of my life, okay? But that is this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. And yeah, tune in next week.